The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with another NFL blockbuster. Are the Colts now contenders in the AFC after landing a former MVP? Plus, Baker's options are shrinking. Does anyone want him? Could he end up riding the bench somewhere? And no love from LeBron James for his former teammate. The king holding court in Cleveland, but is he really having the time of his life? We sure are. Welcome into Get Up. I am Dan Graziano in for Greeny. And look at this full desk. We've got Diana Russini, Bart Scott, Tim Hasselbeck, Tim Legler in here to talk some hoops. But we're going to start with the NFL because Monday was a weekday, which means a quarterback got traded. That's how this offseason has been going. The Falcons are shipping Matt Ryan to the Indianapolis Colts for a third-round draft pick. The former MVP started all but three games for the Falcons over the last 14 seasons, but he will be the fifth different week one starter Indianapolis has had in Frank Reich's 5 years as their head coach. Ryan, in his first 10 seasons in the league, won 60% of his games and made the playoffs six times, including one Super Bowl appearance. But the last four seasons haven't produced a ton of winning. Might not be all on Ryan, who slightly improved on his pass yards per game and touchdown to interception ratio over those last few years. But obviously, overall, did not go well in Atlanta recently. So, Diana, you were part of the crew that broke the story for us yesterday. Take us through how this deal got done.
Yeah, it took a lot of muscle to break that story. Yeah. And here's the thing. It goes back to last Sunday when the Atlanta Falcons called Matt Ryan and said, we are in on Deshaun Watson. We're to go after him. We appreciate what you've done for us, but this is the move for us for the future. And Matt Ryan was in for it. He understood what Atlanta needed to do, and he understood that that probably meant he was going to get traded, and Indy was one of those teams that he wanted to go to. So fast forward Wednesday, the Falcons go meet with Deshaun. The next day, Deshaun decides he's going to the Cleveland Browns. Atlanta's out in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. So now what? Matt Ryan stays, right? No. Well, they both sides decided this is probably not going to work moving forward now. So Indy, this past Sunday, called Atlanta, and the talk started to really heat up overnight. Monday, it all came together, and there was some thought, and this was really interesting, right up to the final hour when Indy and Atlanta agreed to the terms of this, there was a thought that perhaps Matt Ryan would get cold feet in this, and he would decide, you know what, I don't want to get traded. I want to finish my career in Atlanta. But in the end, he decided that Indy has the best roster for him to win.
Yeah, and it should be a lot better than what he's been dealing with in Atlanta. Atlanta's going to have to deal with a $40-plus million dead cap hit, but they're in the rebuild. The Colts have Matt Ryan, and this is another guy who's going from the NFC to the AFC. Yeah. Bart, the AFC is stacked. Where do you put the Colts?
I put them right there in the mix, right? Because if we want to give credit to the Tennessee Titans last year and say that they were a legitimate threat, which they were before King Henry got hurt, we have to say that, you know, the Colts offer the same similar type of roster. With the emergence of Taylor, you think about Pittman. I think they have to go out there. Let's see if he can court a guy like Julio Jones because they need somebody opposite of Pittman that can be a viable threat. But you talk about a great offensive line. You talk about the ability to strength the game and limit the possessions of a game. You talk about being able to control the clock. I think they have everything. I think they move ahead the Tennessee Titans because at this point, if you ask me to pick between Ryan Tannehill and you ask me to pick between Matty Ice, I'm going to go with Matty Ice, whose completion percentage has really improved and still is an elite player. He's only 37 years old. We talk about Aaron Rodgers at 37 years old, like he's, you know, Benjamin Button, you know, and I think we talk about, you know, Matt Ryan, like he's like the old man in the building. He's not.
So a couple of years ago, it's Philip Rivers. Last year, they go with Carson Wentz. Colts are doing this every offseason. Is Ryan what they need?
He's more of what they need than what they had. Like, well, we can put it that way. Here's what I would say. I think that Bart has assessed kind of how what their plan is for winning. And I think you can easily make the argument that if you were to look at the roster in comparison to the Titans, who were the one seed last year, Like, it's, you actually would probably like it better, you know, when the composite of both sides of the ball, the offensive line, the run game, like you maybe favor Derrick Henry. At the same time, Jonathan Taylor is one of the best backs in the league. So you want a quarterback that can play kind of in that environment of shrinking the game, not, you know, making the critical error. And I think when you look at Matt Ryan having the experience playing in big games and not having a history of kind of stubbing your toe in the most critical moment, that fits the bill much more than what they had. In many senses, it fits the bill better than a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think that this is probably more akin to what they had in Phillip Rivers, which they were very happy with. And so I think that's how this Matt Ryan thing works out.
Yeah, they would have kept Rivers last year, but he decided to retire on them. You know, Bart was talking about should they sign a free agent wide receiver. There's a free agent wide receiver that actually was tweeting about liking this trade last night. Odell Beckham Jr., this was overnight, a random thought, but he really thinks that the Matt Ryan of the Colts is going to make a difference. So I don't know
thirst
whether
trap.
That's a... Yeah,
that's a thirst trap right there.
Right?
Thirst trap.
You might as well just put a picture of him
that's
doing a workout.
Wondering.
That's a wink-wink, Chris Ballard. Come get me. And you guys bring up Phillip Rivers. We know that they gave him a call last year when Carson Wentz was going through some of that. I think what Tim brings up in terms of the future of the Colts here, being Matt Ryan being a better fit, I do think you need to also state that Carson Wentz as a player and the performance he had last year wasn't so bad. We sometimes come up here and we just crush him. He didn't lose. The whole team lost to Jacksonville.
It goes on the quarterback's permanent record. Tim
but in turn, just from talking to Indy over the last 24 hours, talking to people on the staff, players, just getting a thought, it always goes back to Matt Ryan's leadership.
Yeah.
Tim had mentioned it earlier, too. What he can do in that locker room seems to be why they believe that this was a great move. And this is an all-win now mentality.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And they still have $17 million, so that's why OBJ is saying, hey, what's up? I'm available.
Oh, yeah. They got tons
of money. But you think about Julio Jones and potentially Jarvis Landry as well, gives you a healthy body.
Why do you keep saying Julio Jones? Julio Jones can't even practice.
Listen, well, we'll see.
For Matt Ryan, what I'm saying, Matt Ryan is a guy. He may want his guy. I feel bad for Riverboat Ryan. Like, if he would do all these quarterbacks with the Bills, you think he would win with Carson Wentz?
Yeah,
he's like, he wants to read them.
I do.
You got to be careful because you sit around and wait too long.
You don't
get anybody. Yeah. So
that may be what Washington was thinking, but that's for another time. For now, we're going to talk more about the Falcons because they have picked a successor for Matt Ryan. We're going to run the hurry up. Diana, start there in Atlanta, please.
Yes, Marcus Mariota back in Atlanta with Arthur Smith, the head coach. If you recall, Arthur Smith was an assistant coach in Tennessee when Mariota was the starter. And the thought process from what I can gather talking to people in Atlanta is they know what Marcus is. So they have a much better feeling and confidence that he can run the offense that Arthur Smith wants to run there compared to, let's say, a guy like Baker Mayfield, who we know is available, or Jimmy Garoppolo. Jameis Winston, and look, a lot of people were questioning whether or not he was going to return and some questions about that knee. But the sense the entire time was New Orleans, if they weren't going to get Watson, this was going to be their guy. It is going to be interesting to see whether or not Jameis Winston is going to have that same kind of success that he was having in New Orleans from what you heard, without, of course, Sean Payton being there. Dennis Allen, of course, now the head coach. And then we know Baker Mayfield right now has requested a trade. He has pretty much threatened that he's not going to be showing up to work if he doesn't get traded. And the market right now is kind of cold. That's pretty much the best way to describe it. We know he wanted to play in Indy. That was a place that he wanted to get traded to. We know what Indy's plans were there, going for Matt Ryan. So now Baker, the Browns, they're just sitting and waiting for the right opportunity. And it's going to be interesting to see how this is going to play out, because I do think there's a bunch of different scenarios that we can discuss.
Baker obviously losing his job when the Browns traded last week for Deshaun Watson. So, Tim, when you look at Baker, is he still a guy that can start for somebody?
I think he is a guy that can start for somebody. I don't think that there's a spot for him to go in as the anointed starter. And I don't think that should be a huge surprise. You know, I think we see this oftentimes with quarterbacks that are given an opportunity, whether it's all bad, some good, some bad, or, you know, there looks to be a ceiling on the guy. It's hard to find those chances. And oftentimes your best chance is to go somewhere where there is a starter who maybe you know, is got some struggles of his own, wait for that guy to either get hurt or fail to get your opportunity again. And so I think that is probably the most likely path for him. His path may also be to go compete for somebody, you know, with somebody, Sam Darnold, Drew Locke, somebody, you know, like in that situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where we are. Like name me the spot where you're like, yep, come be our anointed starter. I don't think it exists.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about. You talk about the class of 2018. Could you imagine having two players from the class of 2018, number one overall pick and number three pick, fighting it out? You know, the celebrity death match, so to speak.
You're talking about in Carolina if he went there with
Donald? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, he doesn't offer much to be desired, right? His leadership and how he handled adversity, you know, doesn't want, you know, I don't, do you want a guy like that in your locker room? Like, you'll give him a chance, but he needs to take a page out of Ryan Tannehill's book, right? You know, understand that it didn't work out. You know, look at Mitchell Trubisky, go somewhere and disappear and be quiet for a little while. You know, I mean, I'm assuming that he won't be the lead of Progressive commercials anymore going on. He's going to have to hand those keys to somebody, but he needs to kind of fade to black for a minute, kind of work on himself, work on his skill set, and become a better football player, because he speaks like he's a good quarterback, a franchise quarterback. Those aren't your lines.
But just a year ago, he is a top 10 quarterback.
Those aren't your lines.
He ranks 10th in QBR.
Yeah, with the best roster in football.
No, they had the 27th ranked defense that season.
I mean,
this is just a year removed. We're not talking 3-4 years ago.
Okay, we take Baker Mayfield away, and now we're talking about Cleveland as a Super Bowl contender. Why is that? Because they were a quarterback away. Because Baker Mayfield was a liability. They won in spite of him, not because of him.
Nobody here is saying that Baker Mayfield is better than Deshaun Watson. I think we could all
agree. He's not better than probably 28 quarterbacks in the league.
Do you think he's better than Sam Darnold?
Is that saying much? Sam Darnold got replaced by Cam Newton.
So, look,
Kirk Cousins.
Look, Carolina's got Darnold, right?
No, he's better than Kirk Cousins. Don't disrespect Kirk like that. You going to let him do that in front of you?
He's not better than Kirk.
He's not better. All right, so Carolina's got Darnold, right? Making the same money, fully guaranteed, Baker's making this year.
Yeah.
So they have their own problem there. Where's his spot? Like, Seattle's open. Houston obviously didn't want him. He probably would have been in that trade.
Well, you look at it this way, nobody wants to pay the price. Adam Schefter reported recently, too, that nobody wants to take on that contract, and no one wants to actually give up any of the draft compensation for him. So, you know, there's theories of how this can go. Maybe a team waits to see if Cleveland cuts him, right? That's always an option. I don't think he wants to be cut, right? He wants his money.
He may want to
be cut. It may be so ugly there and so bad, and I'm sure he gets paid plenty from his Progressive commercials. Money may not be a thing at this point for him.
Plus, his salary is fully guaranteed. That $18.858 million, he'll get that either way.
The best thing for him would be cut, because then if he gets cut, you know, he doesn't get traded somewhere where the path is harder. Like, so if you're Baker Mayfield, you would much rather be on the street and be able to choose, you know, to say to Seattle, like, hey, let me come be part of Pete Carroll's compete every day and compete with Drew Locke. Hey, let me go down to Carolina where Matt Rhule needs to win and go in and fight, have that chip on my shoulder that I had when I was a walk-on in college and trying to prove myself. Like, he is better served in that situation, because your path to an opportunity is better than going somewhere, like you mentioned, Mitch Trubisky. Look, that may have to be his path, but Mitch went to Buffalo and didn't play because Josh was playing. And so you go to Buffalo, and fortunately for him, built up enough good equity there that he found an opportunity without playing.
Yeah.
That typically doesn't happen. You know, Marcus Mariota, kind of a similar fashion. Like, Marcus went to the Raiders thinking there's a chance that that Derek Carr would fall on his face and he'd get an opportunity.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. Now, fortunately, because of the way things went, he gets an opportunity in Atlanta, but it's not the same type of opportunity that Ryan Tannehill got doing that same move in Tennessee with Marcus.
Can I ask you a question?
For sure.
Baker Mayfield, Tyler Huntley, backup for the Ravens. Who would you take?
Well, I think because of how Baltimore plays, Tyler's a better fit, you know? But I think there are spots.
I think he's a better player.
Here's the deal. There are spots, and people want to hear it, but, like, would you prefer the backup in Dallas, you know, the backup in Tennessee? There are spots.
What about Daniel Jones?
Is he a good backup? Look, okay, Mitch was a good backup. Certain guy, Ryan Tannehill, went in and was fine saying, listen, I was a starter, I'm okay not being a starter.
Right, and he ended up winning the job from Mariota, so it's all musical chairs. Will there be one for Baker Mayfield when the music stops? We will come back to that later in the show, but for right now, we're going to switch to the NBA, where things are heating up. The Los Angeles Lakers hanging on for dear life in the Western Conference playoff race, and they got the performance of the night from LeBron James against the Cavaliers. LeBron dunking over former teammate Kevin Love, Tim Legler.
Man.
These guys are friends.
With friends like that, let me tell you something right now. Oh, my goodness. And just think, look at the elevation.
Right.
This looks like a 25-year-old LeBron James.
It is, in fact, a 37-year-old LeBron James, but what a night he had. Gets it in the lane, makes a layup over his shoulder. That puts the Lakers up 117-111. Look at the move by LeBron. Now under 3 minutes to play. LeBron steps back and makes a fading jumper. He did it all, Tim.
Yeah, I don't know what that gesture was with his brain there. He did that about five times on the night. Clearly having fun, going back to his old stomping grounds. It energized him, spry legs, and he was just acting like a raw scorer, and that's why he said after the game he's having a time of his life. He's taking playmaking off the table. It's just scoring now.
Made every single play he could. That shot didn't even make sense. Lakers win by 11, and here's LeBron after it ended.
I'm literally having a time of my life right now. The game is such a beautiful thing, and as long as I'm healthy enough to put on a uniform, I'm going to play with a lot of passion, a lot of energy, give my teammates what they deserve, because I can care less about what the narrative about our team is. I've been, at my point in my career, I don't get involved in that stuff. I don't read about it. I don't hear it too much. None of that stuff matters to me. I'm having a blast playing a game of basketball.
Back now with Tim Legler. Now, he says he's having the time of his life. And this guy's won championships. He made a Space Jam movie. I mean, do you buy that he's having the time of his life trying to drag the Lakers into the playoffs?
Here's why I think he said it. It's what I said a second ago. And I think the fact that he doesn't have to worry as much about facilitating the game. Look, he's still going to get his assists because he's got the ball the whole game. But that's not his primary focus. Right now, he can just go out and get buckets. And there's been very few times in his career when that is how LeBron James has played, which is kind of ironic because by about All-Star break next year, he's going to be the all-time leading scorer in the history of this league if he stays healthy. But he doesn't really think like a scorer, and that's why I think he said he's having so much fun. And look, these games are all important to the Lakers, so every night right now, he's trying to drag this thing across the finish line to put them in a position where they can maybe get AD back, hopefully get out of the play-in, which I'm not sure they're going to, and then you get to take on the Phoenix Suns most likely if somehow you survive the play-in. So there's a tough path ahead for the Lakers, but right now the meaning behind the games and the fact that he gets to go out there and just score, I think LeBron is having fun and he feels great physically, obviously.
And he is giving the Lakers hope, and that's what they're all about right now. The Magic Johnson, great former Laker, obviously, tweeted during or after that game, if the Lakers play with this type of effort, speed, and quickness on defense and offense, I think we could have a good playoff run, especially with Anthony Davis coming back. So, Tim, do you agree?
Depends how you define good playoff run. Are they going to beat the Phoenix Suns, the Golden State Warriors, or Memphis Grizzlies? No, the best of seven. I don't think you go from an unmitigated, disastrous regular season to just getting a guy back right before the playoffs start and going and making a run. No, that look, they can get out of the play-in most likely, you know, beat New Orleans in that first game and then win another game. And now you find yourself in a best of seven with the best team in the league at exactly the time they're going to be getting Chris Paul back. I just don't think you can flick that switch. They tried it last year, got AD back right before the playoffs, and they got bounced in the first round by Phoenix. I see a similar scenario playing out this year.
Worth pointing out, Russell Westbrook, who's been struggling so much, had a big game last night, too. So if that comes together, maybe. But, yeah, AD's an if. LeBron's 37. So a lot to build hope on there in L.A., but that's about all they have at the moment. Brings us to Philly, where the 76ers beat the top-seeded Miami Heat last night without Joel Embiid and James Harden. Tyrese Maxey had a game-high 28 points. Puts the Sixers 2.5 games back of the number one seed in the conference. Tim, they did it without their two big superstars. What did you think of that decision for those guys not to play last night?
I hate it. I mean, I really do because, again, it's disrespectful to the league, to the fans, and it renders the regular season meaningless with as many games as guys miss. And I understand, you know, what they're trying to do, but this is the second time James Harden has sat against the Heat since he got to Philly. I don't really get quite what that's about. Look, you go out and you win the game, and that's great. Tyrese Maxey was incredible. But are you supposed to really take a lot out of that? No, because the guys that played great last night and had opportunities are not going to have the same opportunities when Harden and Embiid come back and play. So I don't take a lot out of it. I think the Heat were caught a little bit flat-footed by that decision. They weren't really completely ready to play to defend those guys the way that they played last night. So I don't take a lot out of them winning that game without their two stars. They've got to figure out how to close games with these two guys against a marquee defense, and that's why I wanted to see them on the court last night against Miami. They need to beat a team like that. And they need to figure out how to play together in the tight moments, because that has been an issue for them so far. And you're running out of time in a regular season. But I guess rest is the almighty in this league. And that's all that really matters. So I'm disgusted by it, because I think fans that wanted to go down and see that game last night, anticipated it for a long time, didn't get to see their two stars play.
They were back-to-back games, but they were both home games. So it's not like
they were getting on off planes. Well, then sit against Toronto and play against the Heat.
I got you. We agree. Much more from Tim Legler when we come back. But when we come back after this break, the AFC is as crowded as we've ever seen, but one of these star quarterbacks will be sitting home in January. Bart Scott's going to tell you which one, and you are not going to believe it. Plus, one of Tom Brady's favorite targets is promising big things this year in Tampa, but one of our analysts says a division title isn't even a sure thing for the Bucs.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need. And here's some eye candy this Tuesday morning. Look, we showed it a few minutes ago, but it's just so good. LeBron James dunking over his friend and former teammate Kevin Love. What do we think of this, everybody? I mean, again, Kevin didn't look like he really wanted any part of this.
Who would want a part of that?
Yeah, Kevin wanted no smoke. He understands that.
He's 37 years old. His head is at the rim.
Yeah, he has been teasing with a dunk contest appearance forever. How about that, LeBron? Add that to your resume.
Ooh, there you go. Bart throwing down the gauntlet. He wants LeBron in the dunk contest. He doesn't want to just see it in games. Anyway, we come back and talk more football. Something has to give in the AFC. There are so many superstar quarterbacks. Bart Scott says one of them will be sitting home watching the playoffs.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Red Cross is providing humanitarian relief in response to the crisis in Ukraine. If you would like to help, support, and donate, please visit redcross.org ESPN. Back to football now with the latest blockbuster trade making the AFC even stronger. The Atlanta Falcons traded former MVP Matt Ryan to the Colts in exchange for a 2022 third round draft pick. This leaves the NFC in tatters, but the AFC, let's focus on the AFC because that appears to be loaded. We have Bart Scott here to give us his top five teams right now in the AFC. Take it away, Bart.
You want them 5-1? Okay, let's start with number five. I'm going to go with the Broncos. We've been saying for years that they're just a quarterback away. It's the reason why they were on Aaron Rodgers' list. It was the reason why they were on Russell Wilson's list and Deshaun Watson. You talk about this team now having two bookend pass rushers with that defense. You talk about Russ is going to be able to cook. I think this is a match made in heaven. I got Broncos number five.
Broncos number five. All right, who you got number four?
Number four. Man, this pains me. It's the Browns. You talk about the Cleveland. We've been talking about this roster being one of the most complete rosters in all of football. You add Deshaun Watson. We don't know about his availability, if he's going to be there all year. They go get Jacoby Brissett. He's a good enough, capable backup to get them to maybe win three games if Deshaun Watson is suspended for maybe six. I think the Browns are going to build momentum later in the year, and I think they're going to be something to be dealt with in the postseason.
Browns all in on Deshaun Watson. We'll see. He may not play all the games. We'll see if there's a suspension coming that could affect him. Who's number three?
Number three, the Super Chargers. You talk about they were defense deficient last year. They go back and go get Khalil Mack so that now you can't slide that line. Derwin James is one of the best safeties in the game when healthy. And J.C. Jackson gives them elite lockdown corner that now they can play complimentary football with that outstanding offense that's going to put up a lot of points.
A lot of hope there in L.A. for the Chargers. How about that AFC West loaded? You haven't even mentioned the Chiefs yet. Who's number two?
Let's go to the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills is right there, right? They had destiny in their hands. If it wasn't for that coverage late 13 seconds, I think they would have been in the Super Bowl and got her done. You talk about Adam Von Miller. They needed a closer, somebody that can close the game. You talk about his leadership. They're able to go get guys like Jameson Crowder, complimentary pieces. You know, I think the Buffalo Bills are primed at number two.
Been right there the last 2 years, so maybe they break through. So one's the Chiefs, right?
Number one. Yeah, they played in that game, the AFC Championship.
Oh, it's not the Chiefs.
But it's the other guy. It's the Cincinnati Bengals. They go out and listen, they understood the assignment. The assignment was protect the franchise quarterback who was sacked 9 times in the Super Bowl. Now they go out and get Lionel Collins. They go out and get Kappa. They understand the assignment. Now they have protection with that outstanding defense. It pains me, little baby Macaulay Culkin. Yes, he's number one. The Cincinnati Bengals is my number one squad in all the land.
Which, fair. I mean, they're the defending AFC champions. You put them number one, they look like they're going to be good. But, I mean, somebody help me out here. Where are the Chiefs?
What are we missing?
In the top five in the AFC.
Me and Bart don't like each other because we fight a lot. I just hate your takes.
You hate my takes?
I hate your takes. Because there's two teams here that you're missing. First of all,
Who am I missing?
The Chiefs. They're the only team besides the Patriots that's had a top 10 defense the last three seasons. Okay?
You think that defense is going to be top 10? Yeah. The Honey Badgers no longer.
It's okay.
Was that defense exposed in the playoffs? Did I not watch Kansas City have a receiver go for 300 yards?
Getting the
last
there,
I
damn.
Checked, too, Derrick Henry still plays in Tennessee, and they were the number one team in the AFC without him when he was in play.
That's true.
How do you miss the Tennessee Titans in here?
Have you seen Ryan Tannehill?
Who now is going to have
I didn't hear you say anything.
You're supposed to college guy.
I didn't hear you say anything about coaching. Nothing at all about coaching.
Okay.
You got a first-year head coach on the list. Andy Reid, it seems like every year he's playing in a conference championship game. Doesn't matter where he is.
So defense is optional, right? Does defense not matter?
Well,
was that team not exposed by the Bengals?
38
was that team? Was that team not exposed by the Bills?
Has Mike Vrabel had a losing season yet? No.
I think what we've learned
here. Has he figured out how to make that team really good when their roster isn't even that exceptional?
They got Ryan Tannehill, and they doubled down on
him. They have Ryan Tannehill, and they still go as far as they do.
Now they have Matty Ice.
I think what we've learned here is what we said at the beginning, that the AFC has too many teams.
I'm always right.
So this is five. So there's seven teams that make the playoffs. So who do you got? The Chiefs must be a wild card then.
No, I got the Colts because the Colts are going to win the division. You just agreed with me over there.
You got your Boston College brother.
Listen,
he's the guy who anoints teams in March. That's what he does.
And I'm always right. And the Baltimore Ravens always figure a way.
To win the division, huh?
Got the Broncos win the division. Listen, had we not said that the Denver Broncos was a quarterback away?
There's a lot
of... did we not say that? Is that not what we said?
Continuity has got to count for something.
Oh, man. Come on. We just watched Matthew Stafford go over there. How about that continuity?
Somewhere...
Well, he was the only new piece.
Somewhere...
Like a new head coach.
Patrick
new
Mahomes.
New quarterback.
And Andy Reid.
Clip this.
Are chuckling at this list. We will clip it. We'll show it. If this happens, we'll run it back. And if it doesn't, we'll probably run it back anyway.
When everybody laughed, when I said Matthew Stafford was going to be the MVP of the league and he was going to win the Super Bowl.
But he wasn't.
And everybody laughed at me, but he won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, let's clip all the times you're wrong. We won't have enough time in the show.
Plenty of time to continue arguing about this and a lot of other stuff. But it's time now to run the floor. The Lakers hold off the Cavaliers in LeBron's return home, where he had this ridiculous, we cannot show this dunk enough, over Kevin Love on his way to a 38-point night. Lakers win 131-120. Even without Joel Embiid and James Harden, the 76ers beat a full-strength Miami Heat squad 113-106. Tyrese Maxey led the team with 28 points. That's a huge win for Philadelphia as they try to close in on that top seed. And without Kyrie Irving, the Nets hold off the playoff-bound Jazz behind Kevin Durant's 37 points. But the Cavaliers lost, the Nets are now only three games back of that all-important number six seed that would allow them to avoid the play-in tournament. Tim Legler now back with us. And Tim, look, Kevin Durant made it look easy against a really good Jazz team last night. Is he the best there is right now in the game when he's going like that?
He's the best scorer for sure. There's no answer for him. There's no matchup that's favorable to the defense against Kevin Durant. There's no personnel that you can have in terms of a type. You know, put a long guy on him or a strong guy on him. It doesn't matter because Kevin Durant has an answer for everything because of the handle, the quickness, the shooting ability. There's no doubt. Kevin Durant, when he is playing like this and he's this locked in, Kevin Durant can almost single-handedly lead you through series. And that's what's going to be interesting to see what happens here, because as they get ready to embark upon their postseason run and coming out of a play-in situation, you're not going to have Kyrie Irving every night. And who knows about Ben Simmons at this point? It doesn't sound good. So it's good for the Nets that Kevin Durant is dialed in the way that he is right now. And certainly, there's nothing you can do defensively to take him off his game other than just run a second guy at him and make him give the ball up and dare somebody else to beat you. And that's what's going to happen to Kevin Durant in the postseason without Kyrie those nights and certainly without Ben Simmons.
Yeah, you mentioned Simmons. Steve Nash, the Nets head coach, said Monday that Simmons has a herniated disc in his back. Now, it was presented as, you know, we could still have him back for the playoffs, but do you think they can count on him at all?
Doesn't sound good. And look, this guy hasn't played since last summer at this point. You're talking about now, we're getting into almost April. Pretty soon, you're going to be looking at a year since Ben Simmons played basketball. I just don't know, based on what you're hearing, if this sounds like a scenario in which he's thinking about coming back anytime soon. I don't think you throw Ben Simmons out there in the middle of the playoffs at some point or the middle of a series when he hasn't seen the court in any meaningful way since last summer when he left the Philadelphia 76ers. And who knows even what he was doing all summer when he was out in Los Angeles expecting to be traded and waiting for the trade. So any way you slice it, it does not sound like we're going to see Ben Simmons this year. The one good thing is his type of game and impact, you can insert him right away and not really affect your flow because he's not a scorer. He's a playmaker. And he's a defender. Those kind of guys can help you whenever they're available. So that is the one good redeeming factor about Ben Simmons if they do try to make a playoff run and insert him at some point.
Well, if he doesn't show up, if he's never available, can they win it? Can they make that playoff
run? Listen, with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, you get a chance every single night. The problem is you won't have Kyrie every night. And so, no, I don't think they can actually get all the way through the Eastern Conference. And certainly, even if they were able to pull off that miracle, and somehow Kevin Durant – mainly by himself, gets that team to the NBA Finals, they're not going to beat whoever comes out of the West, whether that's Phoenix or Golden State, most likely. Those teams are too complete and they're too deep to let, really, a team with one superstar scorer most nights beat them.
Nets still have work to do to get to that sixth spot. They got two teams to jump, and seven of their remaining 10 games are here in New York City, where the unvaccinated Kyrie Irving is still not allowed to play. We will have another star-studded Wednesday NBA doubleheader this week on ESPN and the app. We got the Nets versus the Grizzlies at 7:30 Eastern. Then it's out to L.A. for Sixers-Lakers. Our coverage starts with NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern. Coming up on Get Up, one of Tom Brady's favorite targets is promising big things in Tampa this year, but one of our analysts will tell you why a division title isn't even a sure thing. We'll hear that next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, we got breaking news here on Get Up. Running back Leonard Fournette re-signing with the Buccaneers. Here's a tweet from our Adam Schefter. Leonard Fournette spent Monday visiting with the New England Patriots, re-signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a 3-year deal per sources. So this is, again, this Brady goes back and everybody follows,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he took his free agent visits, right? He's with the Panthers, the Patriots, but he decided to get the band back together. And the tone out of Tampa since Brady's been back has been, we are focused on getting all of our guys back, all those free agents. They just want to do what we have been saying, which is run it back. And that's really what they're focused on. So this actually makes sense. And I'm sure Leonard Fournette, and we don't know this right now, possibly had better offers out there, but we both know
$7 million a year of Tom Brady. $7 million, he finally got his money because they've been giving him the Walmart rollback discount price. Finally, they give him the money because he's a very vital, important piece. Mm-hmm. He added catching to his repertoire last year, and I think he deserves to get that money. But not everybody ran it back.
I think it'll be interesting to see the actual money, though, because when you think about listen, he's visiting New England, okay?
Yeah.
New England had more backs than they knew what to do with.
Right.
I mean, let's be real on it. So like, what was the deal going to be in New England? Like, if you were competing with New England to sign him, I actually think he helps him a bunch. I also think this is part of the Brady effect. You know, Jason Light has talked about, you know, the impact that it has in terms of other free agent signings. I don't think there's any doubt, especially if you've been there with Brady in the past, that it would make you want to come back.
Yeah, and look, I mean, a year ago we were talking about, oh, isn't this incredible? The Super Bowl champion Bucks brought back literally every starter on both sides of the ball. That's not going to be the case this year, but, you know, we've been talking a lot about the talent drain from the NFC to the AFC. I mean, do you think, Bart, do you think the Buccaneers are in better shape to win this year than they were last year?
I think they're in better shape than the Green Bay Packers because they were able to retain. Now, listen, they lost Alex Kappa. They lost a player to retirement, but they were also – they lost O.J. Howard. But I think – listen, outside of Green Bay, the Rams, and Tampa, who's the elite teams in the NFC? Like, so if you're an NFC team – you know, talking about screw those picks. I mean, I think you go all in because you have a legitimate chance because the path to the Super Bowl is a lot easier than in the AFC.
Yeah.
I don't think they're better off. I mean, you know, a year
ago. But the field isn't better.
No, but listen, that's fair. But, a year ago, everybody was back. Chris Godwin was healthy. Like, it was, you know, there was this energy around, running it back. Everybody's all in, all of that stuff. This, I think, is a little bit different. You mentioned, you know, offensive line is not going to be the same because of a variety of reasons. Now, I do think that the defensive losses are very survivable. Yeah. The big thing for me ends up being Chris Godwin. I'm on record as saying, like, he's their most important offensive player outside of the quarterback. Yeah. And so that includes Rob Gronkowski, who, by the way, was there a year ago, not there currently right now.
Yeah. Do you like Gage? That's gonna happen. I like Gage a lot.
Chris Godwin, to me, I think is, he does so much for them. Yeah. He's great outside. He's great inside. They'll use him as an insert lead blocker. Like, they run ISO behind him. Yeah. So, to me, I think that his health ends up being a huge factor in this. They're in the mix, but I just think the momentum a year ago was different.
And you look at the division, too, and you look at the other quarterbacks. It kind of resembles when Brady was playing in the AFC East, right? You take a look, because who do they have? They have Marcus Mariota now playing with the Atlanta Falcons. You have Jameis Winston with the New Orleans Saints and the Panthers. Well, who knows?
Bart, why don't you tell us about it?
Huh? Did it bring back bad memories?
Yeah.
Bring back bad memories, the AFC East stuff?
Yeah. Even though we were successful when I was there, so can't poke fun at me too much. But I tell you what, I can't believe that, you know, Shaq Mason, that I don't understand that one. If you're New England, why would you let a guy of that caliber, Shaq Mason, go down to Tampa Bay? I didn't get that one. You know, you talk about, you know, having great offensive linemen at a premium.
Well, he's one of the best in the business. Listen, part of it ends up being – look, where do guys want to go? I kind of touched on the Brady effect, okay? Like, let's be honest, too. Like, guys have enjoyed being in Tampa. They've enjoyed the practice routine. Yeah. They've enjoyed the winning. They've enjoyed playing with Tom. Like, there has been an element of, listen, things are equal or close to equal. I do think guys have chosen to be in that situation.
Well, Tom Brady allows them to be able to have a choice because he takes so little money, right? You talk about his cap hit, you know, it goes all the way back to A-Ron and holding the franchise hostage. Now, listen, get your money, but you get what you get.
But it's interesting, Brett, that Brady effect, right, of guys wanting to be there in Tampa and the rest of the division's figuring it out. A week ago, if Deshaun Watson had ended up in New Orleans or Atlanta, you might have seen some of these guys going there with him, right?
Yeah, that was actually probably one of the biggest stories. And as somebody that breaks news as much as you do, you know that because you were having those conversations as well. So many free agents were just watching and waiting. As much as we talked about the domino effect for the club specifically of who's going to be their quarterback, it was the pieces, the offensive pieces around him, even on the defensive side, guys that were watching, seeing where is Watson going to land, and they were going to base their decision on that. So now you see, I still think most of the players that went back to Tampa Bay were going with Tom Brady no matter what, as soon as Tom announced that. So I don't think somebody would have a regret of going, oh, I wish I didn't go to Tampa, I should have went to Cleveland. I think the culture there, Bruce Arians, we obviously know his style of coaching and the way he runs practice. It fits for guys and it makes them happy, especially for those older players, you know, who don't want to go at a 10 rate every single practice. They know that Bruce is going to take it easy on them.
Yeah, Bucks GM Jason Light called Brady a cheat code, and I think he's talking about how much it helps him put a team together, have people want to come play with Tom. Hey, April is right around the corner, and that means it's mock draft season right now on ESPN. You can check out Mel Kiper Jr.'s Mock Draft 3.0, where you will see this top 10. Mel's got Aiden Hutchinson, Michigan edge rusher, going to Jacksonville, number one overall. Got Kyle Hamilton, the safety from Notre Dame, going to Detroit at number two overall. You see a bunch of offensive tackles there. But, hey, look, you don't want to hear me read this list. You want to hear it from the man himself. And here he is, Mel Kiper Jr., here to break down his latest mock draft. Mel, I couldn't help but notice that there is no quarterback in that top 10, and that has not been the case since 2013. So what gives with the quarterbacks here? Why are they not going that high?
Dan, I thought about, you know, Carolina at six, and you think about where we are in terms of the Atlanta Falcons. Marc Mariota comes in, and Seattle with Drew Locke at nine. Too early for quarterbacks that are ranked in that 18 to 22 area of round one in terms of the ratings board and where teams are picking that could look at a quarterback like the New Orleans Saints with Jameis coming back. But, hey, Kenny Pickett's there. Then you think about where the Pittsburgh Steelers are, you know, with Mitchell Trubisky. They got a shot maybe at Malik Willis from Liberty. And then the Lions at the end of the first round with Matt Corral. The thing is, all three of these quarterbacks are vying for the top spot. It's still wide open. Kenny Pickett, I gave the slight edge to. He's got 49 career starts. He's going to be a 24-year-old rookie. Yeah, he had a solid, solid career overall. You know what you're getting, kind of a Kirk Cousins type there. Malik Willis, though, has the most upside. He's kind of the right-handed version of Michael Vick with the way he can run the football with his powerful rocket arm, but he's raw. They need some time. So you have Trubisky there for a year or so. See how that goes. Be a perfect scenario if he fell to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mentioned Matt Corral. Matt Corral's coming off of an ankle injury. So you think about where he is right now, where he'll be late April. Late April, he could be QB1 with the ability to run the football, that gritty competitor. He can really spin it, Matt Corral can. So I really think it's a three-horse race right now. I think there's three guys at the quarterback position, Pickett, Willis, and Corral, all vying between now and April 28th to see who will be coming off the board as the number one quarterback. That is still to be determined, Dan.
You got Matt Corral there going to the Lions, taking their quarterback of the future with a pick they got in the Matthew Stafford trade. So wouldn't that be appropriate? You do have six wide receivers going in the first round, starting with USC's Drake London there at number four to the Jets. How do you decide where to put these wideouts?
It wasn't easy because of, you think, the Jets, they could certainly look at, you know, coming on Mekhi Becton's situation, Evan Neal. But I went with a wide receiver with size, with length, which what they need with the receivers they already have there with Elijah Moore and Braxton Berrios for Zach Wilson, the young quarterback. I really struggled with the 10th pick. I went with the corner over Jermaine Johnson, the second, a defensive end from Florida State. But you see, the two Ohio State kids, Olave, certainly would help out with Devontae Smith. And then Jameson Williams is really a wild card. You think about New England, Green Bay. I think somebody's going to take Jameson Williams in that 20 to 25 area. A kid who would have been top 10 had he not been hurt, Dan. He's going to present great value in the 20s coming off that ACL. Once he gets healthy, he's going to be a dynamic big play performer.
So I can't help but notice there, Treylon Burks to the Packers at 28. I don't know if you heard, the Packers traded away a significant wide receiver last week in Devontae Adams. So why do you think Burks makes sense for them, if they can pick anybody they want there?
Burks has the kind of size to really give Rodgers a real red zone threat. The guy that can go up there and high point the football and create mismatches against smaller corners. I really believe, Dan, with the depth at wide receiver, you're going to see a lot in the first. You're going to see a lot moving forward in each round. I think the Packers in particular come out of this draft with a minimum of two receivers and maybe three, Dan. Take advantage of a position that is strong in terms of slot guys, guys outside. That's one of the strongest positions in this draft, and it fits well for the Packers in terms of what they need. It's a good year to need a receiver because there's a lot of good ones out there.
It sure does fit well, but doesn't fit with their history, though, Mel. Only twice since 1988 have the Packers drafted a wide receiver in the first round. They have found some really good ones in the second round, including Devontae Adams. Much more from Mel in the weeks ahead. The draft just 38 days away. But when we come back, another blockbuster trade in the NFL, the AFC getting even stronger. Does Matt Ryan make the Colts Super Bowl contenders? We'll talk about it next.